Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 64.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
All right, hi everyone. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 64. I am your host, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me. In today's episode, I'm going to be going over 12 ways to break out of your improvisation box, right? Or shackles or chains. And so in this episode, especially when I was younger, I would find myself doing the same thing over and over. Or I would just be, you know, I'd feel like I was stuck in a rut. Like a lot of jazz musicians feel like they get stuck in a rut and they can't improve. And they just don't know what to do to get better. So these 12 practice recommendations are going to help you break out of that box and really fuel and motivate your creative juices for improvisation, all right? By doing things that you're not used to, right? You're uncomfortable with. And it's only in those instances where we are uncomfortable in which we experience growth. And it's really important to understand that, because otherwise we continuously practice the same thing over and over and over that we know already, and that's not growing. That's not helping us get better, and we simply get frustrated by that. So it does take a little bit of patience, discipline, obviously, to stay within those uncomfortable moments, because they're uncomfortable for a reason. We might experience, you know, frustration, doubts, pain, but it's only from those uncomfortable situations that we're not used to or accustomed to that we're going to be able to improve and reach our full potential. So again, thank you for joining me today. I hope you guys all had a great holiday, Thanksgiving. Everyone's back to their daily schedule, their daily rituals, routines for now, for a couple more weeks until Christmas gets here. So I know I am super busy. December is just, you know, it's holiday month. Lots of people want music. There's gigs everywhere. It's a good month for musicians, for working musicians out there. I'm playing at SF Jazz. If anyone's listening from San Francisco, with Jamie Davis, a really great vocalist. It's going to be a nice Christmas show we're doing at SF Jazz. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be on December 15th. So if anyone's out there listening and you want to come listen and stop by and say hi, definitely do so. I'd love to meet some of you guys. So again, we are affiliated with jazzpianoschool.com. Lots of free information there, my little spiel here. You can go there and find out more really, really great stuff. Obviously this podcast on there, a blog, and some other treats and goodies as well. So let's dive into this. I have my 12 suggestions or notes or ideas queued up here on my phone. I'm gonna be demonstrating over a blues. And if you want this checklist, basically, you know, what this is a generator, I'd like to say. It's going to generate ideas. So I'm going through individual ideas here, right? But the great thing about this is you can combine the individual ideas to get more ideas, right? So it's 12 to the 12th power, basically, whatever that is, I believe. My math isn't great. No, probably 12 times 12. Yes, so that would be 144. So you have 144 ideas or combinations. It could be power. I don't know. If there's someone good in mathematics out there, please let me know. Music's my strong point, right? So anyway, with these 12 ideas, you can combine them. You can mix them and match them. You can combine three. You can combine four, right? And this is what's going to stimulate your playing and really help you break out of the box. So let's go to number one. Number one is going to be the range from which you play. And these are practice ideas, right? So the goal of this is to practice things we're not used to while improvising. So a range can be a range of notes. And I had a teacher in school do this with me. He gave me different ranges, right? So he would say, I only want you to play from C to G, right? I want you to play your whole solo from C to G. Okay, so this first step is focused on picking a range for yourself, and it can be whatever you want. So I'm gonna be demonstrating over a blues, just these in particular ideas. So I'm gonna go ahead and pick a range for myself. I'm gonna pick this F to this C right here, okay? So that's my range of fifth. And I'll just go through maybe a chorus, so here we go. That's it. So again, the goal of this is to really focus and channel your creativity, because with only this range, you got to get creative, right? It forces you to be creative. We sit down at the piano, we have all of these notes to play, and usually most of us, even myself, we go bonkers, right? There's just so much to play. Horn players, on the other hand, just for an example, trumpet players, right, they're so focused on their embouchure, their air, they're playing clean notes that they don't have that luxury of just getting a note just by looking at it and playing it, you know? So in that sense, they really have to focus on the notes they play, which kind of tends to lead towards different improv ideas and improv development. So with the pianist, we have so much at our disposal that we really need to focus our practice ideas. That's actually part of the big A big part of the improvisation process in Jazz Piano School that I work on is really focusing your improv ideas. So that's the first one, range, right? I can do it. I'll do a smaller range now. This will focus my improv even more. So I'm going to do a third now. So I can use all of the notes within this third. All right, so here we go. Here's another example. That. I mean, again, the purpose of this it's not going to sound too great. I mean, it sounds kind of cool what I did. I mean, it was all right, but you know, again, I had to really force myself to become as creative as possible. Again, that's the purpose of this exercise. So the first one is range. That's a really great one. The second one is register. A lot of pianists and a lot of all instrumentalists get caught up in just soloing in one range, and particularly for pianists, our right hand sits very naturally right here within this range. Our left hand sits very naturally right here. So if I'm sitting at the piano, this is where my hands line up and just rest naturally. And this is where most of soloists will solo. We want to get uncomfortable, right? So you want to choose registers in all parts of the piano that you can attempt to practice your your improvisation. So I'm going to start down here in the low end and see how that comes out. Okay, so my register is gonna be right about here. You can just pick a general area for yourself. You can just say low end, right? Just pick this area right here. All right, so here we go. So that's my low end. I mean, again, you're gonna develop a relationship with these different textures, which is very, very important. The low end is gonna give you different emotional feelings, different relationship attachments, right? You're gonna have different relationship attachments with the low end than you will with your high end, right? So I'm gonna go up here and solo in the high end, keep my piano on the my hand on the screen here. So that's my high end. Again, you get a nice little, you know, you get a different texture from that that high end up there. All right. Now my next texture is going to be a note. All right, so what we do for this one is that we pick notes to solo with. And if you're doing with this with an entire piece, a blues is a really good way to practice all these textures because it's more of a standard format, right? It's hard to do these exercises with actual pieces. You can definitely do it, but for this one, you can't really do it. So for a blues, I can pick maybe four notes that I can use. I can only use those four notes. I can use them anywhere on the piano, but I can only use those four notes. So I'm gonna pick four random notes here. I'm gonna pick D, I'm gonna pick A flat, I'm gonna pick E flat, and B natural. All right, those were four random notes. Let's see if I remember what I said. D, A flat, E flat, B natural. All right, so I have these notes here. Woo! That's pretty out, I love it. All right, so that's my challenge. This is challenging for me too. I love this. This is why it's so great. These are really, really awesome, focused improv exercises that anyone can do at home. So here we go. This is gonna take a little bit of effort here. Whoops, sorry. I'm not using the right notes. Oh my goodness. See, I forgot already. Let me see. D, A flat, E flat, B natural. D, A flat, E flat, B natural. Okay. All right. I got it. D, B, A. Yes, yes. All right. Maybe I was using the right notes. All right. Anyway, here we go again. One, two, three, four. So that's just an awesome exercise to do. It's really fun and challenging. And depending upon the notes you select, you're gonna get different textures, different characteristics. Again, use the whole piano with those notes. Sorry guys, I gotta stop here for a sec. I have a towel that's behind my keyboard that fell out that actually keeps the keyboard from kind of rocking back and forth. So I'm just gonna put that back in there. Hold on one sec, there we go. That way the keyboard doesn't, I don't know, my keyboard stand isn't too solid. I record on a carpet, so the keyboard kind of moves back and forth, especially when I'm videotaping here. All right, sorry about that. All right, so that was selection of notes. Now, let me see, well, that was number three. Number four is gonna be rhythms. Now, obviously, rhythms is a huge component of improv. I see so many people, they can vary their improv up immediately. Like, this is an instant improv, improver. This will instantly improve your improv, right? And I'm not even kidding. If you just switch up your rhythmic values that you use in your solo, you'll already sound better. And that's a big, if you listen to Charlie Parker, he's using all sorts of rhythms, triplets, right? Quarter note triplets, eighth notes, 16th notes, eighth notes going to triplets. Just so many different rhythmic. He's thinking, so many improvisers, I'm thinking like drummers, right? If you tend to think like a drummer, it's really, really gonna help. Oscar Peterson, right? So if you think about a drum solo on a snare, something like that. Right? You can take those types of rhythms and add them in your solo, and it's gonna create such amazing contrast. It's gonna sound great. So the way you want to do this is pick a rhythm that you're not used to. Everyone's probably used to quarter notes and eighth notes. Pick triplets. You can only use triplets through your entire solo. All right, this is really, really great exercise and practice. Here we go. One, two, three, one, two, three. Whoops, sorry. See, even I broke the pattern, and you really want to focus on doing it. Again, use the whole piano. I started to move down a little bit here, and that's why, see, if you combine triplets with your register, right, if I just pick this register to play in and use triplets, I'm getting probably something totally different than I've ever played, right? Very, very fun one. Triplets is a great one. Obviously, 16th notes, if we slow this down a little bit, or take whatever tempo you want. 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3, right? Using all triplets. You don't have to use strands of four. You can use two, right? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da, three, right? Or four. It's completely up to you. And put the rest wherever you want. All right, so here we go. So I kind of let my hand go too. That's another one we're going to get to a little bit in my solo. So rhythms, okay, very, very easy to do. Obviously, you can choose different rhythms, any rhythm that you know, quarter note triplets, you can do polyrhythms, three against four, things like that, any type of rhythm, all right? I'm just going to make a note to myself here. All right, so space. Space is another great one, all right? Leaving space. You want to force space into your solo. And this will create breath. It's like breathing or speaking. You need to have that breath. And then you can continue speaking, right? And it provides phrasing. Benny Green is great at this. His phrases are so just, they sound perfect. You know, he says a line and takes a breath. Says a line, takes a breath. It's amazing. So I'm going to play one bar and then leave one bar space. All right? And that's what I'll start with. Here we go. That's it. That's your exercise, right? Now, you don't just do this one chorus. I'm just demonstrating for the podcast, but do like 20, 30, 40 choruses. You know, you want to build, your goal is to build a relationship with these exercises so that they get, you know, imprinted into your hand, into your playing, into your soul, right? That's what you want. That's what you want to have happen when you're practicing these exercises. Then when you're on the bandstand or you're playing by yourself, it comes out automatically, all right? Now you can vary the space, right? I could have chosen two measures. So play one measure, two measures of space. Or vary the measures that you play, right? Maybe play three measures, one measure of space. Three measures, one measure of space. Or make it random. You know, go through a blues chorus and write three, one, just pick random numbers, right? Three, one, two, four, one, two, one. And then make those the numbers that you play and leave space. That's amazing exercise practice, all right? Articulation. I love this one because Oscar and these really, really great people, Brad, Keith, you know, the highest of highest pianists, their articulation has so many different forms and variations. And this is more of a classical thing, I think. If you start with classical technique, you learn this very well. And so Horowitz is a very famous classical pianist. It was once said that he had about 97 different ways he could play one single note. Can you believe that? 97 different ways he could play one note on the piano based on, you know, obviously the action of the hammer and how it hits the strings. Now, obviously, we're not going to attempt to do that, but as we're playing, we want to think about articulation. There's so many different ways that I can play this, right? I can play it legato. I can play it staccato. Right, I can play it somewhere in between, just with space, right? I can make staccato on the last note, I can make the first note staccato, right? I can kind of swoop it, or change the dynamics, right? Give more accent, I can accent the middle note. There's so many different ways to play one thing, and it's just, you know, you have to think about these things because they'll really, really help improve and focus your playing. I mean, three notes, think about this for a second. I hear people play so many notes, and I have no problem with that, but it just goes to show when you practice exercises like this. So let's say we're thinking about articulation for three notes, right? Now, when you get good at this and you realize the potential and the power that just articulation can serve in playing three notes, do you think you want or have the need or crave, you know, to play tons of other notes? Like, no. Those three notes already pack so much of a punch. They pack so much power in and beauty through articulation, and that's all you need. You know, I'm okay just playing these three notes based on, you know, maybe just the way I play them or articulation. Same with Brad. That's why these guys can play one or two notes, three or four, and it's just the most beautiful thing you've ever heard, right? Now, obviously, you know, Brad and all the other guys can play lots of notes, but you know, that's usually not what they feel the need to do. You know, whereas someone who gets up and is just blowing a whole bunch of notes and, you know, there's not much depth behind that. But anyway, I'm going to think about articulation now. I just want you guys to start off with just legato and staccato, right? Just think about those types of things. I'm going to think about accents as well while I'm playing. So you'll definitely be able to hear the accents I do, the legato and the staccato. Okay, here's my demonstration. If I can get this working. Here we go. Now again, these demonstrations, I'm trying to obviously overemphasize a point. You know, I wouldn't do that much of a variance in my solo, but again, it's just about focusing your mind into the exercise. So articulation is a great one. I got a lot here, I gotta speed up. Textures. Okay, now textures are gonna be about taking a word, taking a concept, taking a feeling, and applying that to your solo. I had this great teacher in New York who would always do this. He would have me think about textures all the time, and it was just so opening to me, right? It just freed me so much, because instead of thinking about notes, you're thinking about textures. You're thinking about creating an atmosphere, a mood, you know, that gets, and it just, the way you improvise is completely different, because your mind's not being like, oh, you know, modes, oh, C mixolydian, you know, going to the flat five. Like, your mind is thinking about colors more. It's thinking about painting a picture. So I wrote a couple textures down here for you guys to do. Open, right, more of an open, airy atmosphere. Gritty, right, more of a dirty, gritty atmosphere. Kind of light, more of a light flowing over top atmosphere. Dense, solid, more of a dense, solid atmosphere. So these are types of images or things you can think about as you go into your solo. Okay, so I'm going to take the first one. I'm going to do open, and then I'll do gritty. Okay, so here's my open, airy feeling that I'm going to try and create for my solo. No, that's a difficult one. I mean, especially when you're playing with a it's funny because you're trying to do something, it's hard to do it with a track because the band's just playing a swing pattern, and when the band can match your mood, that's the really fun thing, right? Especially if I'm playing a blues by myself, my left hand can match my mood. So if I were going to go play more airy type, you know, I wouldn't be like, you know, walking bass with my left hand. I'd probably do something more open with my left hand, right? Something like that. So a lot of sus chords, it's much easier to create the atmosphere when I have full control. My iReal Pro band is just kind of ding, ting, 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 you know what I'm saying? So anyway, that's not the point, but just be conscious. It's a little difficult to do that. Now, a gritty sound with the band that I have is very easy, right? Using lots of blues notes, I can demonstrate that very easily. You'll be able to hear this. So again, kind of punching notes, you're obviously axing stuff. And I don't know if you noticed, I haven't been using my left hand at all, right? And we're gonna get to that in a couple of things, but you can obviously hear that my right hand's completely exposed, so it sounds a little dry, right? It sounds dry, and that's what you want, because you start to realize how important your left hand actually is to your solo. And even I'm realizing it too, because I'm doing all with my right hand. I'm like, wow, there's no harmonies or anything. It's just like, It's so raw and bland, it's right out there, okay? It's just funny, we'll get to that in a second though. Now extensions are a great one. People use extensions obviously a lot in your solos, but it's one thing to kind of single extensions out. And so what I recommend is picking extensions. Really focus on maybe just your flat nines. Maybe focus on your natural nines, your flat 13s. Maybe pick two extensions at one time. Your natural nine and flat 13, right, of every chord. So for now, I'm gonna focus on my flat nine of all the dominant chords in the tune. I'll make all the chords dominant so that way I can really kind of emphasize the flat nine. But that's gonna be my focus, and I'll put those in my solo and really target those as best as I can. Here we go. Now it's funny because the goal of this, when you're doing this, it's to improve your creativity, and you'll find that a lot of the times you're gonna solo differently. Like it just has to happen. When you're focusing on something like that, you're guaranteed to improvise differently because you're creating a different sound. You're venturing into depths of yourself that are being explored through focus and, you know, intent of your solo. This is how, these are different, you know, processes of making your improvisation better. And it's just phenomenal. I love it. I mean, you get different ideas out of focusing your improv through small, specific improvisational exercises like this. So where were we? Extensions. All right. Now, left-hand interaction. I just talked about left hand a little bit. Obviously, my left hand is void right now. I'm not playing any left hand. Left hand is very, very important. Now, the interactions your right hand has with your left hand is very important as well, and we talked about phrasing. Now, in this exercise, you want to very clearly have a conversation with your left hand. Your right hand's gonna be improvising, and very clearly have that conversation with your left hand. So you need to leave room for your left hand to speak, right? It's just like having a conversation with your friends or your family. You all know that friend or the family member that just speaks consistently. You also know that friend that doesn't speak at all, right? So that you have a chance to speak, and that feels good, right? Doesn't that feel good? I love when I'm around friends. I talk a lot on the podcast, but it's funny. If you meet me in person, I'm actually probably hard to believe for a lot of the listeners out there, but I actually am more of a quiet person. I'm kind of an introvert. I don't speak that much to people. I like listening to people's stories, their backgrounds, and where they're from. I think it's part of the helping mentality that I enjoy. But when people are around me that aren't speaking, actually they're more like me, it gives me a chance to open up, and I really enjoy that because they're listening to me. They're truly listening to what I have to say. So with your hands, you know, give your left hand a chance to speak, right? And with those harmonies, they definitely will add so much value to your improv, okay? So I'm clearly gonna demonstrate interaction through my hands and giving my left hand a chance to speak. probably take two choruses here. Fun. I enjoyed that. So, that was awesome. It just goes to show. I mean, that's really fun because what I'm saying by that, what's behind me actually saying that was really fun is that it was digging into me, my self-expression, more so than a lot of the other exercises I was doing, and it was bringing me out. You know, sometimes you know when you play, sometimes and you really fall into the zone, or you really are just unraveled by what you're playing, and then sometimes you sit down the piano and you just like, oh, that sounds like crap, like I stink, right? I mean, I feel that way all the time, a lot of the time too as well, so don't think you're not alone, right? But leaving that space really gave my left hand a chance to pitch in and add something to the solo, and I loved it, and because I wasn't just focused on my right hand, right? And it really brought out a lot of creativity within me. So that's a really fun one. You could obviously see, you can leave a little space, right? You can leave a lot of space, right? Sometimes I played a long line with my right hand, then a long line with my left hand, right? So I might have gone. Sorry. You know that I have a long comping pattern with my left hand, right? So again, lots of different ways you can use that interaction exercise. Now, left hand voicing is the next one on the list. Now, again, there's a couple podcasts back I did just on pure left hand voicing. So blues is a really great thing to demonstrate with this exercise because you can create so many different atmospheres with a blues, and it just goes to show that you can do this with your chords as well, or your regular standard tunes. Now, usually, you know, with your rootless voicings, if you know those, this is gonna create a certain type of atmosphere, just voice leading, right? Your three note rootless voicing or adding that nine in there, that's gonna create a specific standard sound, right? Now, if I change this sound, let's just say I use shells, that will create a certain sound as well. And so, if I change the sound, and now add some different type of extensions. Let's say I change the extensions. If I do this, that's gonna create a completely different sound. Now, by changing the sound in your left hand, your right hand is gonna feel compelled to match that sound. That's why this is such a great exercise. So, I'm gonna demonstrate the left hand voicing using some different types of extensions first in this first demonstration, and my right hand will match kind of the feeling and the mood that my left hand is creating just by using some different left hand voicings. Here we go. Again, I was going for kind of out, sort more of that out extension sound with my left hand. You know, stuff like this, right? Using flat 13, right? Sharp 9 in there as well. So creating different left hand voicings. Now, let's say I just go for more all sus chords, right? Let's say I choose all sus chords or more kind of natural sounding extensions. Not natural sounding extensions, in fact, like a rootless voicing has natural sounding extensions, but I'm going to use closer voicings, more like this, maybe some sus chords too as well, kind of give it a more of a
open, right? An open sound with my left hand voicings. And the way I do this too is by holding the voice. So as you saw in the left hand demonstration on the last one, I was using a lot of stabs, a lot of kind of harsh textures, right? And some of the things I was playing, right? Right, stuff like that. So it was much more tense, like a tense feeling. All right, here's the open feeling though. Again, it's not really about your right hand, it's about focusing on your left hand voicings. Your left hand voicings will create an atmosphere out of your right hand. All right, just based on I was focusing on my left hand, my right hand followed the sound that my left hand was creating. That's a much more advanced texture, right, for much more of the advanced players to practice out there. So we got three left here. And these are very important as well, even though they're more general. Okay, so motifs, you've probably heard me talk about motifs a lot if you're a longtime listener. Obviously, if you're a member of the course as well, there's a lot about motivic development. You always, always, always want to have a story behind your solo. I really, truly believe in musical depth, right, and speaking through your improv. You know, have something to say. Louis Armstrong is just a phenomenal trumpet player, and he is so lyrical, it sounds like every note is intentional. I mean, it's hardly, except for some of Louis' early stuff, things that he did. I mean, every note that he's playing is very, very intentional and purposeful. It has a meaning. So when you play, you want to do the same thing. You want to tell a story, and the way you do that is through motifs, developing ideas. You want to take an idea, develop it, build it, and grow it. Right, and your purpose is to take that motif and see if you can continue that one idea. Don't let the idea go. So many people let their ideas go so early, right? They lose it or they give up on it, right? But don't give up on it. Stay with it through the entire course and see if you can develop that into your solo. Okay, so here's an example of that. Now, what's a motivic idea? I guess I should tell you. It's just a phrase or an idea. You know, it could be this. That's an idea, right? I could displace that, I can play. So I'm building that idea. It's basically one thought. If you have a thought, then you continue with that thought. You don't want to, it sounds like this, if you're speaking a sentence and I'm talking about motivic development, but then I say, you know, I need to go to the store later, I gotta buy some groceries. It's like my motivic development has nothing to do with me going to the store later. It's like, why did I put those two ideas together? And so many times people are improvising and that's what their solo sounds like. It's like their ideas are all over the place. So you want to try and connect them, build your sentence together, you know, like you're speaking a sentence, like you're speaking a language. All right, here we go. That's my idea, right? I'll continue it. It's a little different now. So that was one course. That took up one course, and I could have kept going with that one idea for about 2 to 3, 4 courses more, just expanding upon that one idea. Right, so first I started off with the original idea I said, and then I changed it just a little bit. I think I did, or that's what I did right there, right? So you can kind of tweak your idea, you can mold it, you can shape it, you can form it, but the general core of that idea is still there, and you use that throughout your soul, and it really builds a story. You can build that so much, right? Just with that tweaking. Let me do this one more time just because it's very important. I'm gonna use my left hand too. Thank you.
again, I could continuously keep going. And the whole idea was, that was it. It was a three note idea that I tweaked at times. I changed the rhythm at times. I changed the notes, obviously. But the core idea stuck with me throughout my entire solo, and I just played with it. You know, I just played with that one idea. So very, very important. That's the glue. You know, that's the glue that holds your solo together. Otherwise, you kind of get lost. You feel like your solo's not going anywhere. You get to your second or third chorus, you're like, I don't feel like playing anymore. Like, this thing's not going anywhere. It's not taking off, right? This is how you get that inspiration, that feeling to get your solos to take off. It's going to help you feel inspired to continue your solo. I mean, Miles, Coltrane, think about these people. They're on an entirely different level. I mean, these guys are soloing for 20 choruses, 20, like 10 minute solos, you know? And it's like, how do people do that? They're so involved with their solo, you know, so deep into it that it's just like nothing. And again, building and developing is that part of the story. So, two more things. We got tempo, okay? Obviously, this is an easy one. Practice different tempos. You want to practice your improv at different tempos. And I'm not talking about fast tempos necessarily. I'm talking about different tempos, different styles. This will change things drastically. If I put my blues on 80 beats per minute right now, it's so funny. I see people that can, you know, they'll play burning solos at, you know, 180, 190, 200, 250, and then I put the metronome down to 80, and they're like, oh man, I can't play it at that speed. It's like, what? It's slower. It's a really funny concept. And again, I'm guilty of saying this too. It's like, oh, can we just speed up the tempo so it makes it a little bit more easier? It's like, why? That doesn't make sense, Brendan. Why would you want to speed up the tempo? How is that going to make it easier? It's like, it's a slower tempo. You should be able to do a slower tempo, right? But it's about the comfortability level that I have with certain tempos. So change your tempo up, put it slower. You know, challenge yourself. Play the slowest blues you could ever possibly think of. This is going to be at 80, though. Here we go. This is easy. I mean, this is my bread and butter right here. I mean, this is not bad at all. I'm used to being patient. I'm not going to try and keep talking and playing. I'm used to being patient in solos by this time in my career. But again, even some tempos are going to be challenging for me too. I love those slow blueses at that tempo by this time. You know, that's kind of more about maturity level, actually. You know, just really being patient, enjoying the music. I can dig in. Let's see. I don't even know how slow iReal Pro can go. It goes down to 40. Okay, here we go. Oh boy, I don't even know. Got to focus on textures, right? Building. Dynamics, right? Yeah, okay, I see. I'm into it now. I can feel it. So, I can honestly say I've never played blues at 40 BPM before, so that was fun. In the beginning, right when I started off, I was like, this is super uncomfortable. I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to do this. once you get that relationship, you start to feel the tempo inside of you, you start to move to it, it starts to mold to you. Then it's like, oh, okay, I feel this, but it takes a lot of patience. Obviously, the slower tempos are gonna be more difficult. Well, not necessarily, right? The slower tempos are difficult because it's like, what do I even do? And again, you saw me focus on textures, building, dynamics, a lot of, you know, different, textures, right? Articulation things, you know, motifs, development, a lot goes into that. Basically, all the textures I talked about today went into building at that slow tempo because you can't swing eighth notes at that tempo, right? One and two and three, you know, that's going to sound like, that's going to be like watching paint dry. You got to be creative. You know, that's what it forces you to do. Now, the fun thing about fast tempos, I'll just do this real quick, is that fast tempos, our goal is to not play lots of notes. That's the goal, is to be creative without playing continuous eighth note lines. And that's what's really fun, and I love playing about fast tempos, is being as creative as possible, but doing it through simplicity. Right, doing it through being very, very simple. And when you are able to achieve that, it sounds phenomenal because you're taking us all and building it. Again, Brad Meldow is so, so phenomenal at doing this. Oscar Peterson, I would say, is actually not that great at doing this because he played lots and lots of notes. Now, granted, he did build motifs and things like that, but again, there wasn't much space. Oscar's not known for leaving space. He's a virtuoso. He was just a monster, just continuously playing the fast eighth note lines, even with 16th notes at faster tempos. But I'm going to try and be as simple as possible. Woo! That's really fast. Let's slow this down just a little bit. That was 270. Let's do 260. 10 beats, right? All right, here we go. Whoops. Motif. Right, so you get the picture. Again, the goal is to be as simple as possible, create little motifs, be simple, subdivide your rhythmic tempos, you know, think, instead of thinking one, two, three, four, one, two, three, just think one, one, one. You know, you can even swing off that, one, two, three. You know, if I swung eighth notes based on a subdivision of time, here's what it'd sound like, one. Right? So I'm swinging eighth notes at the subdivision, which is kind of a funny thing to do. But anyway, the last thing is just letting your hand go, right? So many times, my old teacher, Eric Reed, he would have me do this, and he would talk about his development doing this as well. And just really not thinking and kind of think. Oh, so has anyone seen the Addams Family? Seen the Addams Family, the old Addams Family? I'm 32. I don't know how many youngsters are listening to this, but I guess some of you might call me a youngster at the same time, but but the old Addams Family had this character called Thing, right? And Thing was just a hand, and it was his own thing, right? It just did whatever it wanted to do. It wasn't attached to a body or anything, and that's how I describe this. Just let your hand be Thing. Just let it move however it wants to. Don't worry about wrong notes. Think more. Well, actually, don't think. You know, if it wants to do patterns or play or just let it go, you know, just kind of allow yourself to feel free on the piano. The tagline of Jazz Piano School is learning freedom. So I'm really all about helping, creating structured and organized learning, which provides the freedom that everyone wants in jazz piano, which we're all attracted to, right? So as I do this exercise, I'm just gonna let my hand go. I don't know what I'm gonna play. I'm gonna play random notes.
And but that's the it's the freeing part of this exercise, is to not worry about, you know, oh, what notes are going to sound good, what notes aren't going to sound good. Okay, here we go. Oh, let's slow this tempo down again. So we'll do medium, about medium swing. This is going to be at 150. Here we go. Idea. And obviously I was hitting a bunch of, you know, strange notes. You know, I was at one point, that last point, I was going, I was just playing, you know, like textures. I was just thinking about textures. Again, it's not about trying to build a solo that sounds great. It's just letting your hand go. You're practicing the break between your hand and your mind. Now, I wouldn't say that you always should do this, but the exercise is good for that specific purpose, because a part of playing jazz piano will require you to just break free. Just let yourself go. Let yourself express yourself however you would like to do, however the person listening right now would like to express themselves, right? Don't worry about what notes are supposed to be played. You know, do your own thing. Do what you want to do. I love saying that. I love helping people feel that feeling, because it's very invigorating, you know, to find that, okay? Woo! So that was an hour. Wow, that was a lot. I thought it was going to be much quicker. But again, this should be very, very helpful. You can go to jazzpianoschool.com/podcast64 to download the checklist. Sorry, I just got something in my eye. Download the checklist to combine all these different textures, right? So you have that checklist in front of them. You can pick out one, you can pick out two. It's completely up to you, whatever you would like to do, however you would want to combine them. That's going to be super helpful for you. I'm going to stop talking now. I'm going to go get this eyelash out of my eye. And thanks for listening. As always, happy practicing.